Good morning. I'm so excited about moving into a new year, and today we're going to be just sharing with you what we call a standalone message, not part of a series today that I've actually entitled Moving Forward. And as we begin this message, let me pause right here and welcome all those that are just now joining us online. Good to have you here with us. Come on, let's thank God for those that are here with us. Amen. Welcome. So glad that you're here. And we have a lot of people actually that watch from out of the state, out of the country, but we are delighted that you are with us wherever you're tuning in from. And by the way, if you're here locally, we just want to take this moment on this New Year's Eve to invite you to join with us live in-house. We'd love to have you with us if you're in the area and you don't have a church home where you normally worship. We meet here on Sundays at 10:30 and would love to have you come and be a part of our services. You would enjoy this church. You would love this church. Amen, everybody. And we've got a lot of exciting things happening this year as we make plans moving forward. I want to also pause on this day 365 to thank you guys for all that you have done. One of the things that we do around here that we emphasize is that we want to make a difference. And I just want to encourage this church, you are making a difference. And sometimes we don't see things. Things are sort of invisible to us. But can I tell you that what you're doing, your investment, heaven is noting, and I believe others are noticing as well, the difference you are making and impact you're having on lives. We've seen many lives that have been changed and got many testimonies of changed lives. And I just want to thank you. I also want to just say how much I enjoyed the last two Sundays. We had our a couple of weeks ago, we had our community candlelight service. What a phenomenal service. I think that's one of the best candlelight services we've had in our history here at Cross Point. I want to thank all those that have really took their time to invest and all what they did from the parking lot all the way through. We just appreciate all the labor and all the production efforts, all of the music. Appreciate Pastor Dwayne and his work with the team here and Pastor Steve and all those that are part of making all that happen. It's not easy. There's a lot of rehearsal, a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. I want to give a shout out also to Randy Sowards, who did a phenomenal job with her small group called Once Upon a Time. Did a fantastic job. Had a wonderful service last Sunday for our Christmas Eve service. And I just want to just say, I didn't take time during the services to say thank you and appreciate you guys. I just want to take time today to say how much I appreciate all the work, all the labor, all the love. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah. So, I just can't say thank you enough. Hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. Excited about the new year. You know, we just completed a series that we entitled Believe. And as we go into this message today, which is kind of, one of those transitional messages between Christmas and the new year, I want to ask the question. We just, again, finished the series Believe. I got to ask the question as we go into 2018, what are you believing for? What are you believing for? And as we look back of last year, And I'm thanking everybody for all the labor, all the different aspects of ministry that happens here from small groups to just everything that happens. We can pause and we can thank most of all, we can give thanks and credit to God for his faithfulness, for seeing us through another year. And you may look back with a smile on your face about how God has been with us and he's sustained us and carried us. And there may have been high places and low places, but we know that God is there on the mountaintop, but he's also God in the valley. He's there in the middle of the day, but he's there in the middle of the night as well. And he's seen us through, and we can reflect on the faithfulness of God. And so there's different emotions that we may have this time of year. For some people, it may be a feeling of great satisfaction that you have attained and reached some goals that maybe you set this year and some things that you wanted to see accomplished and were accomplished, and you're grateful for that. You're appreciative of God's faithfulness, and you're reflecting on that, and you just have this great feeling. In fact, Christmas time, you can have that feeling of, man, in fact, I felt like this Christmas was probably one of the best Christmases that I personally have ever had. Our house was just, it was just a house full of peace and joy, and everybody was happy, and I didn't have any drama, which is always a good thing. You know, everything was good, and a good year, and I really have sensed God's presence during this season. It's been a busy season, my busiest yet, but yet I have experienced God's strength and His peace in the midst of it all. And while I talk about that, the end of the year feeling and from a positive standpoint, there may be many people who that's not what you've experienced. You may be here today, you may be watching, and actually you feel somewhat let down, disappointed, disheartened, may feel lonely, concerned about things, you may be anxious. And I just want to kind of encourage those that may be in that situation today. And as I thought on this week, I thought about sometimes the cycle that we go through. Maybe it may be in our life, it may be even year to year. I do believe that God gives us seasons. I believe He gives us seasons for reasons, okay? Excuse the rhyme, that was unintentional. But He does give us seasons for reasons. He gives us, I like how He gives us new days. You know, there's a morning. Aren't you glad it's not just one continuous long day? You ever have a bad day? Wouldn't it be bad if that day just never ended? You know, there was no night. You just forever, you know. Now, heaven will be good, okay? But on this earth, that would be a bad situation. But God gives us like a closure. And we say, okay, we're going to call this day done. And we get to start all over again tomorrow. As I get older, now when I was younger, I didn't like mornings. I didn't like to get up, you know, those kind of things. Kids just like to sort of sleep in. Now mornings are my favorite time. Mornings are because there's just freshness about the morning where you get a do-over, you get a new start, a new beginning. Can I tell you that God actually, I believe, gives us those things intentionally. He gives us seasons intentionally to have do-overs. So He said, well, it doesn't really matter. Life's going to be the same. It doesn't matter. It's just a different month, a different day. It's the same old, same old, same old. Can I just encourage you today that God does give new beginnings? He does give you as opportunities to start again and to begin again and have a fresh start and a new beginning. In fact, that's why Jesus came. He said, I've come to make all things new. So He's come, Lord, to give us a new beginning. So with that in mind, though, we look at our year sometimes, and we can see a cycle that we get into. Usually it begins this way. We start out with New Year's resolutions. We set goals. We have things in mind that we would like to achieve. And then we might even go from the goal process, and it's good to have goals. We need to have goals. When we start making decisions, then how we're going to reach those goals. So we go, so we begin with goals, and then we get into decisions. And if you have, you should have some blank notes here if you want to jot some of this down. No feelings today, but you can jot some notes down. So there's goals, and then we start go from goals, and then we start making decisions about those goals. Okay, I'm going to make some decisions about what I can do, and then we actually take physical steps towards those, and life seems to be going in the right direction. We get some momentum going there. And what should follow that is we start to see some accomplishments as we take those steps. And so there's some accomplishments there. But then as life happens, and how many knows life happens, there's these setbacks that come our way, something unexpected, something we didn't intend to happen. It could happen to us, or it could be something that we just messed up ourselves within us and dropped the ball, and there's setbacks. There are distractions. How many know there's distractions in life? You know, we got our eyes set one way, but the next thing you know, something grabs our attention over here, and here we go. And we're off in another direction. And then somewhere down that path, we realize, oh, my goodness, I forgot I was supposed to be going a different direction. And so there's distractions. And then there's the disappointments because we realize, okay, I'm not really achieving the goals I want to achieve. So there's disappointments that sets in. And then from disappointments, it can greatly and very easily lead to discouragement. We get discouraged and think, I'll never will accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish. I'll never reach my goals, and those goals can be many different types of things. And then here's another step that can happen. We begin to resolve that we're going to do better and things are going to get better, but there's another alternate way that may happen, and that is that we resign that it's not going to get any better. So we're either going to go, it's going to resolve that we're going to be better, or we just resign to the fact, I'll always be this way, nothing's ever going to change. Can I just encourage you today and tell you that change is very, very possible? Change is possible. And we think, well, I want some things in my life to change. And I wrote this down, before things can get better, I must get better. So we like things to change, but the thing that needs to change the most is not without, but it's within. So write this down with me. Write this down. Change begins with me, first of all. And we like to change everybody else and see everybody else's faults. And if she would do this or he would do that, or if my boss or my job or, you know, my finances or, and we point to everything else. It's kind of human nature. We inherited that from Adam. Remember what Adam did? God said, what did you do, Adam? He said, well, it's that woman that you gave me. So he's doing this. He's just blaming every, and we do that. That's just kind of ingrained within us. We blame everybody else. If I didn't have this hindrance in my life, if I had a different job, if I had a different spouse, if I had a different child, if I had a different something, you know, if I had different clothes, if I had different looks, if I had, you know, a different physical condition, if I didn't weigh so much or I didn't weigh so little, if I, you know, if I was in this neighborhood or that neighborhood, we just everywhere, right? But actually, change begins with me. And let me take it a step further. Change doesn't just begin with me. Change begins within me. It's got to happen within me. That's the change that really needs to happen. And just let me be clear, I'm not preaching at you. I'm sharing with you because I'm preaching to myself more than you. Change needs to begin within me. And we all need to say that. Change begins within me. All right. Y'all good. Y'all are good. How about this one? Change comes from above. So it begins within me, but we know that we can make decisions all day long, and we just went through the cycle of how we can go through these making concrete decisions, even steps, and yet somehow we can't get there because all of our efforts, it's never enough. But the change that really needs to happen, and because usually what we manufacture is sort of externally oriented, but what we need to have, if something really needs to happen within us, that's something that needs to be deposited from above. Something's got to happen within us, and change really does come from above. I want to give you a scripture that's found in John chapter 3, and it's a conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus. We are probably very familiar with this story. Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus, interestingly, he came to Jesus by night. I thought that's a whole other topic we could talk about. But he was interested because he saw that Jesus was performing these miracles. And here's what he said. Here's how he approached Jesus. He said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, but for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now notice, Nicodemus, he was a religious man. And he'd probably experienced a lot of religious things, but he saw something different in Jesus. Jesus was having some results. Jesus was producing some miracles. He saw some signs. What he saw was a manifestation. He saw some works. And so Nicodemus is focused on what Jesus is doing. Where I'm seeing things that you're able to do. And in order for you to do that, God must be with you. And he's focused on what he's doing. Notice that. He's focused on the without, not necessarily the within. But look at what Jesus' response is. Jesus replied and said this to him. He says, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And interestingly, Nicodemus is talking about what he sees out here and what Jesus is doing and the miracles that are happening. But Jesus quickly takes him not from out there. He goes to the heart. And he says, unless you're born again, something internally has to happen within you. You're not seeing results. You got the religious stuff going on the outside, but something different has to happen on the inside. Look what he goes on to say. He says, how could someone be born again when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Now, Nicodemus is still kind of trying to understand this. And look at what Jesus then says. Jesus answered, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And I love this. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And so while Nicodemus was focused on external things, Jesus was focused on internal things. And he said, you got to be born again of the Spirit. So Jesus is talking about things that are supernatural. Nicodemus is talking about the natural. Nicodemus comes to it from a carnal standpoint, and Jesus is spiritual. In fact, Jesus goes on in this conversation. You can read on yourself about it, but he said, how can I share with you heavenly things if you don't even understand earthly things? And so he's trying to get him to understand that change happens, Lord. Look, not from outside, but from within. There's got to be a change within. And Jesus said, you've got to even be born again of the Spirit. So something in your spirit's got to change. Something within you has got to change. And that's the need today. And so look at this. Change begins with me. Change begins with me. Change is from above, and Jesus was sharing that with Nicodemus. So how do we relate that to moving forward in 2018 and making progress in reaching our goal? I'm going to give you two words this morning, keeping this very simple, but I think these are words. Honestly, I believe God really laid this specifically on my heart for today. I tried to go another direction. I really felt like God really wanted me to share this with you. I believe there are powerful two things I want to share with you. Number one is this word. Write this down, and the word is forgiveness. Forgiveness. So we want things to change. We want to be able to accomplish goals, reach our goals. We want things to happen around us. And all of us have our list. I could go through our list of what those things are. But within us, there's got to be a place where all this is birthed from. And as we get to the end of the year of 2017, if we're not careful, our place we find ourselves is there's some things that happened this year that moves us into this place of unforgiveness. I'm going to show you how that sometimes that place, it's not necessarily about others, but sometimes it's even within ourselves. But let me give you a scripture that's found in Philippians to tie this together. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says this, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. So he's trying to reach a goal, but he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Now listen to this. He says, but there's one thing I do. Now, he says there's one thing, but yet it looks to me like he mentions two things. But to him, it's all in one the same. It's one movement. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, that looks like one thing to me, and straining towards what is ahead. Going to the next verse. I'm going to come back to that verse 13. But he says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So go back to verse 13. So he says, this one thing I do, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, as if that is one movement. There's two things I want us to pull out of this, but it's so much one thing that the two go hand in hand. Two go hand in hand. And this first area is the area of, I've got to forget what's behind me. In other words, I'm going to have to forgive. I'm going to have to forgive and let it go and move on. And that's kind of like, for Paul, one movement. I'm moving, I'm letting it go, and I'm moving forward. In order to move forward, I've got to let it go. Right? And I've got to let go to, I've got to let go to be able to move forward, right? So write this down. How do we do that? First of all, number one, forgive others. Forgive others. Forgive them. Forgive them. It's crucial. We've got to forgive others. Here's the thing. At best, we're all a mess. I've said that before here throughout the years. You've got mistakes in your own life, and you're not perfect, and guess what? Neither is anybody else perfect. So sometimes we have unrealistic expectations on people. We have to forgive people, be set on forgiveness. But this is something, and also he says forgetting. So it's not something he just did one time. It's a continual process. Forgetting. Forgetting. And I would present to you that that has tied up in it the forgiving. It's forgiving. We say, well, I'll forgive you, but I ain't going to forget. And that's kind of how we do. That's why, but God is our example. When he says, when he forgives us, our sins are thrown in the sea of his forgiveness. They're removed from us as far as the east is from the west to be remembered against us no more. That's our example. And we're to follow his example. So we're to forgive others. Secondly, write this one down. Forgive myself. Forgive myself. Sometimes what our unforgiveness towards others is actually projection. Because we haven't forgiven our own self. And so we project off on other people what we ourselves are guilty of or wrestling with. We project it. It's so important to forgive ourselves. So if you haven't reached your goals, if you've messed up this year, if you didn't get where you need to, forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. And then third, accept God's forgiveness. And really, this is probably should be ranked number one, because that's the only way the other two are going to be possible, and that is to accept God's forgiveness. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget, but then I also press on. I'm going to move forward. So let me give you a second word along with forgiveness, and that word is faith. I think these two go hand in hand. Forgiveness, you got to forgive the past, let it go, because if you don't, you're never going to be able to move forward in faith. So you got to move forward in faith. And I want to give you a beautiful, beautiful example. And I don't know if you've ever seen it this way. And I don't know that I've really broke it down this way myself or looked at it this way myself. But the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6. And he models for us how to pray. I want you to look at this. Throw this up here. Matthew chapter 6. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Well, first of all, that's faith. To recognize and acknowledge that God is, that he exists. The Bible says that it's impossible to please him without faith, and they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see faith there. It's a faith statement. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he's worshiping him, acknowledging him. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a now prayer. That's a now prayer. God, we need your will right now in this place, right? That's a now prayer. Then he says, give us today our daily bread. That's another now, today prayer. We need your help today. And so he's praying for help today. Then he says, look, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Interestingly, now he's talking about the past. Forgive us for our mistakes. Forgive us of our mistakes. And so, and as we, and this is crucial, we'll come back to this, but as we have forgiven our debtors, so as we forgive other people, God help us to forgive, all right? Then look at the next verse. That was the past, now this is the future. So, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom, again, ends with a faith statement, and the power and the glory forever and ever. So in his prayer, Jesus is saying, we've got to forgive the past, and then we're going to have faith, God, that you're going to lead us not down that old path again, but you're going to lead us forward in faith, right? Are you following this? So he takes care of the past, but he says you've got to move forward. And then he highlights only one thing in that prayer, and it's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, right after that prayer. He says, for if we forgive other people when they sin against you, it says your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And there you're stuck. And you make no movement forward. So how can this 1 week make that big of a difference in your life? It's just another day, Pastor. It's just by letting go of the baggage from 2016. Whether it's people, whether it's 2017, whether it's people, whether it's, you know, whatever that is. Thanks for the help. Appreciate that. 2017. All right. We let go of that so we can move forward in faith. In faith. Look at 1 John chapter 5. I love this scripture. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And what? Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. There's overcoming power. We have faith in Him that He takes care of our past, takes care of our yesterday, and moves us into a future that God has planned for us. And I want to borrow this scripture that was in our prayer this time this morning here at Cross Point. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 from NLT says this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again. That's what the previous verse I just read was talking about. That's the victory, that we have faith in Him, that we are now born again. That's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. So you got to settle your past so that I can do something new. It has to happen within you. Nothing's going to change externally. It's until something within you happens. That's called being born again. And this is what the scripture says. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectations. Now listen, how great is our God? And what is it that you're battling, that you're believing for? With God, nothing is impossible. God raised Jesus from the dead. That should give you great expectation. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, listen, whatever you're facing, there's nothing impossible with our God. Amen? Nothing is impossible with Him. So let me give you a couple things here. First of all, receive His forgiveness within your heart. So in other words, change happens within. Let's take care of the past. Let's forgive His. Let's receive His forgiveness. Let's go. Let's let go of 2017. Let's let that go. And then, secondly, move forward with faith in God, knowing that change comes from above, and God's given us a future. Someone I heard said that it's not forgiveness that we need; it's faith that we need. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were just saying we need forgiveness. Yeah, but we need faith to be able to receive God's forgiveness. See how the two go hand in hand? We need faith. So we move forward with God in faith that He's taken care of the past. We give it to Him. You know, I remember seeing an illustration of somebody that would come to the altar and they would lay all their burdens down. And, you know, and I don't know what that would look like for you, what the names on those burdens would be, but you lay it down on the altar. God, I'm giving this to you. I'm laying it down here. I'm releasing this to you. But then when we get up to leave, we gather it all back up in our arms and walk back out with it. No, that's not how it's supposed to be done. We got to lay it down at the altar and leave it there so we let go of the past, and then we trust God with that. We have faith in Him. We're moving forward into a new day. The past is only the past. And many of us are marked by the past thinking that's our identity and that's who we are. Let me tell you, God comes to, look, come on the inside. It's called being born again of His Spirit. He wants to do a new thing within us and make all things new. And the third thing, write this down, be confident in His love for you. God has a purpose for your life. God, listen, there's nothing impossible with you. He has a purpose for your life. And He loves you. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. He loves you. He cares about you. See, he doesn't come to condemn you about all your failures and say, guess what, all the things you did in 2017, you didn't get right. No, he comes to love you and give you a fresh start and give you a new beginning. That's good news, everybody. That's good news. You know, I was in prayer this morning. I've been praying at the house, and I came over, and I just kind of looked at the prayer cards this morning and some of the things. And I asked him, I said, can I just borrow some of those? And as a pastor, I come in, and I read these things, and they just really grip my heart. I don't know what needs you might have on your prayer list, but I was going through some of these, and here's one. Pray for salvation in my family and opportunities to share with them. Here's another. Boldness to speak God's word to a hurting world. Here's a person who actually lost a pet and said this is going to be a major moment in their life. You know, hey, pets are important, right? And pray. We're praying, believing God for everything. I don't know what's on your list. It could be any kind of thing. Small or great, God cares. God loves. Here's some families in need with listing of family members and praying for guidance, praying for somebody who was in a tragic car accident. Here's a person with a drug addiction. There's people who was in here with cancer, praying for a husband to have renewed faith and strength in Christ, a need for finances. Let me just go through this. Our community, an aunt, an uncle, and just it just goes on and on. A person who's dealing with health issues, a coworker. Here's one that was dealing with breast cancer and praying that, listen to this, pray that she continues to cling to God and not wander in her faith. Here's a friend that's praying for a friend that's in an abusive relationship and pray that they'll be freed from bondage and that she'll find true love in Christ. And I could go on and on. It continues like this. And my heart just grieves as I read and I get burdened for the needs. And I think about all these things. And here's the thing. I want to move these prayer requests to the praise report column and see God do the miraculous. Anybody with me? I just want to see some breakthroughs. I want to see some miracles happen in the house. All I know is God loves us and his desire is to meet our needs. But a lot of times what we're looking for, we want for change to happen out here. But when God's able to come on the inside and renew our faith in him, forgive us of our past, settle yesterday, come in, renew us, I'm telling you, the miraculous can happen. Here's what, I want to give you this verse as a scripture. And I don't know what's on your prayer card, what you're believing for, but here's the promise of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's our God. That's his plans for us. That's Old Testament. Guess what? He says something similar. Something similar is said in the New Testament in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who've been called according to his purpose. He has a purpose for your life. And I thought about this scripture that's in the Old Testament where God asked the question, is there anything too hard for me? Now, you know, God wasn't asking that question to get an answer that, you know, hey, he already knows the answer. He wants to know that you know what the answer is. He already knows there's nothing too hard for him. So I don't know what's on your list. It may for you, it may be a mountain that continues to be there. And every morning when you wake up, that mountain is still there and it doesn't ever seem to move. The Bible says that if we had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we could say to a mountain, be removed. So may we allow God to come into our heart. Because a lot of times what happens is what hinders our faith is unforgiveness. Jesus brought it out in the prayer. He's praying for all these things, but he says, but forget it if there's unforgiveness. Let me heal your heart. Let me settle that in your heart. Faith isn't working in your heart because there's some things that aren't settled, but there's some things in your life that needs to be settled, that needs to be released to me. And when you do, I want to tell you, there's breakthrough. There's breakthrough. You want to know where breakthrough is? It's when God comes and he heals our heart. And when he has our heart, guess what? The hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the mouth and all that stuff will follow. right? He wants our heart. He wants a relationship with us, a real genuine relationship with us. And when he has that, guess what? The mountain, it's nothing. It's nothing, right? When God has our heart, everything else changes. And so I just want to encourage you today, give him your mountain. Give him that thing you're believing for, right? Along with give, and Paul, it was with Paul, it was all in one movement. He said, I forget those things and I press towards the mark. So sometimes we try to forgive something and we're just dwelling on that thing over and over and over. No, it's having a purpose to move towards. We're letting that go. We're letting it go. And we're moving in one movement. So we're finding our purpose. We're grabbing hold of what God's called us to do, and we're fulfilling our life in that. And that other stuff just drops off. It just melts away. That's why I think one of the greatest things we do around here is helping people discover their purpose. You say, well, I just need my problem solved. I'm going to focus on my problem. No, you need something bigger than your problem. You need a purpose. And when you have a purpose, that thing's going to take care of itself. You're going to let that go, and you're going to move forward into a purpose. You're never going to stand there and solve all those issues and hurts or whatever, the disappointments, whatever's on that list that we went through. You're not going to solve it by just staying there. You've got to give it to God, forgive. Forgive your others, forgive yourself, receive God's forgiveness, let it go, move forward into the purpose, move forward in faith. Forgiveness and faith go hand in hand. Because unforgiveness is going to prevent your faith. But when you can forgive, am I communicating this clearly? When you forgive and let that go and let God come in and heal your heart, I'm telling you, it's like a clean slate. God's got something now to work with. And he can come in, and then he establishes his kingdom within us, and then all things are possible. Amen? Amen? So today, I want you to write this down. And that is, and this is a big word for me, God always brings this one up to me, and it's the word trust. Write this statement down. Just say, today, I trust him with my life. That means that I'm going to trust him with whatever happened yesterday. God's going to take care of it. I'm trusting him today where he has me today, my appointment. But I'm also trusting him for my assignment tomorrow, what God's purpose is for me, and I'm going to trust him with that. I'm trusting him with my life, my past, my present, my tomorrow. I'm going to trust him with my life. Just trust him. Trust him. Trust him. I was talking to Kim. Let me just share this as I close. I was talking to Kim yesterday, and she texted me, and she said, pray for me. Having a bad day. Anybody have a bad day? Things weren't working. Equipment wasn't working. Plumbing at work wasn't working. That's a big one. That's always a big one, you know. It's just a bad day. And the first thing I thought of, and I talked to her a little bit after that, and I said, I would encourage you just press the standstill button. Just press the standstill button and trust God. I think sometimes when we have a stressful day, if we're not careful, we're drawn into it. And I told her, I said, I would just lean back. Lean back and trust. You know, I'm not just all that wise. I just know that's God's helping me realize what works and what doesn't work. Because all of us, myself included, can get drawn into the stress. And I said, when it's out of control, just give control to God and trust him. And he's going to take care of it. Amen? I would encourage you today, trust God. Trust God with your finances. Trust God with that physical condition thing that's going on. Trust God with that relationship. Trust God. Trust him. Trust him. We used to sing a song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to rest upon his word, just to know that he's with us. Come on. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Come on, he's with us. Trust him. Do we need to, so let's just trust him today. Amen. Can we do that? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I'm going to pray a prayer. Because there's some people here today that may just need to trust him with their life, as in making a decision to surrender their life to the Lord. To give him control. I love what Jesus said, that the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. We're not going to renew our spirit with a bunch of things and activities and our list of resolutions in 2018. Our spirit is renewed and by surrendering our spirit to God and allowing His Spirit to come in and breathe new life in us. May be some of us that we haven't done that, and so I want to lead in a prayer. Whether you're here in this house or you're watching online, I want to lead in a prayer of surrender. But if that's you and say, Pastor, that's me, I need to surrender. There's some things in my life I need to surrender. There's some areas in my life I need to surrender. There's some things that are bugging me, bothering me. I just need to surrender. But most importantly, I need to surrender my heart. And you realize today that only when you do that can any of this stuff be fixed. Say, that's me, Pastor. Would you slip up a hand? I just want to know who I'm praying with. Would you slip a hand and put it right back down? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. If you're watching online, join with us. Pray something like this. Come on, everyone. Help us pray this prayer. Just say, God, today, thank you for taking care of my yesterday so I can have a tomorrow. Forgive me for my mistakes, my failures, and yes, even my sins. I need you. Today I invite you to come into my heart. Breathe new life in me. With your help right now, I let go of my past. I forgive others. I forgive myself. And most importantly today, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for giving me a new beginning. A new life. Today I give you my life so I can experience real life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on, just thank Him right now. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. By faith we receive you, Lord, right now. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for renewing hope, renewing joy, renewing vision. Renewing faith, God, for giving us a new expectation. God, the past does not determine the future. You've come to that we might be born again. We might have a new beginning. You've come to settle yesterday to give us a tomorrow. I thank you for that today, God. Lord, I just pray over every person in this house, whatever that looks like, God. God, whatever they're believing you for, God, I pray faith would be renewed. Your word says, according to your faith, be it unto you. God, according to their faith, God, increase our faith. May our focus not be on things, but our focus be on you. God, you are the one. Lord, change comes from you. God, change us from the inside out. God, do a new thing. Do a new thing in us and through us. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.